Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Well, that's what we'll talk about today, 3D living. So find your sheet of paper here entitled, Like Paul, You Are God's Gifted Child. And we'll start there. I heard a funny story about a new salesman. He went to a new territory in a small South Alabama town, and he met the owner of a local hardware store, and he asked, have many great men been born here? And without skipping a beat, the owner of the hardware store said, no, around here we only have babies born. Now, I can tell you this, God has known you from the time that you were in your mother's womb. He made you on purpose, and He crafted you in His image, and He poured into you special gifts, talents, skills, and ability, because He has designed you as His masterpiece. And He wants you to know Him in a real, personal, and intimate way, and then to use your gifts to serve His purpose so that you can experience His victory every day. That's the goal of God. So here's what I want us to focus on today. I want you to understand that you are loaded with these special treasures. And just like Paul, look at the title of this message, just like Paul, you are God's gifted child. And my friend, this life is too short, eternity is too long, and your spiritual destiny is too important for you not to understand your giftedness. I've heard it said many times that the greatest treasure field in any city is not an oil field, it's not a diamond or gold mine. The greatest treasure field is that green patch of land called a cemetery, because so many people die with their God-given treasures still in them. They die with the music still in them. They never release that book, that song, that business, that ministry, that witness that they were supposed to release. They die with the treasure in them. And I don't want you in that category. So I'm trying to help you today. And if you'll synchronize with me, please write this down. Everyone enjoys receiving presents. That's a great truth. Let's start right there. To prevent the tragedy of your not understanding your giftedness and releasing your treasure, everyone likes a present. When you get a gift, the inner child inside of you squeals with delight. I have a delightful memory about a birthday years ago when our kids were little. A birthday is an odd day. It's September the 11th, 9/11. So our kids are 10 years apart in age. And Jason was 12, Sarah was 9, Mary Austin was 5, and Alex was 2. And Jason and Sarah were old enough to want to give Daddy a gift. So they had wrapped me a gift, and they brought this gift to me. And of course, I oohed and aahed over it. Now, 5-year-old Mary Austin has a real tender heart, and she loves her daddy. So she didn't want to be left out. She trotted back to her room. She surveyed her treasures. She took a grocery bag and she stuffed it down inside of it and brought it to me, clutching it with her chest, and gave me her American Girl doll. What was she trying to do? If you love somebody, you want to give them a present. Well, what has God done for you? You see, He loves you with an immeasurable love. And He has loaded your life with special gifts, talents, abilities, and treasures. He's given you this divine design, and He invites you to join Him in the victorious process of using your gifts and abilities to build His kingdom. So over the next few weeks, let's go on a treasure hunt. Let's go on a journey of discovery and find out our spiritual giftedness. Well, let's start here in Romans 12. If you have Romans 12, beginning in verse 1. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, do not think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the portion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. And he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let's pray. Father, oh Father, we come very intentionally and humbly before you, and I ask that you would transform this beautiful sanctuary into your seminary. I pray that these shared truths would transform lives and make a difference. Lord, please get me out of the way so that your Spirit could sweep through this place and deposit your truth into every receptive heart. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please take this sheet of paper and let's identify four baselines about the gifts that God has given to you. Number one, the distinction of gifts. Let's start there. Distinction of gifts. That's our first baseline. I want to clear up some misunderstandings and some misinformation, because too many Christ followers remind me of that old Texas cowboy who went to town for the first time and he saw a big Taco Bell and he thought it was the Mexican phone company. So he cheated himself out of some really good nourishment, because I love Taco Bell. Well, here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to cheat yourself out of the truth of God. What God wants you to understand is that there are three gifts linked to this understanding of spiritual gifts, and I've given you three scriptures that identify and distinguish these gifts. Let's begin in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and find the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. We learn at the beginning of the church in Acts 2:38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, when you come to Jesus and turn from your sin and turn to your Savior, you are saved. And at that moment of conversion and salvation, when you open your heart to Christ, the Spirit of Jesus comes into you. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's just the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Jesus. Those are all interchangeable terms, so do not be confused. But when the Spirit of Jesus comes into you, you are transferred, we learn in John chapter 5, from the kingdom of death to the kingdom of life, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Your sins are forgiven. You are robed in the righteousness of Jesus. You are placed in God's family forever, and no one can take you out of it. That's what Jesus said in John 10. Once you're in the Father's hand, Satan himself cannot snatch you from your heavenly Father. So this is your new position. You are in Christ. Paul says you are sealed in the Holy Spirit. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 16, that this is the fulfillment of the promise he made. Do you remember the disciples were upset when he said, "I'm leaving you"? He said, "Don't worry, because I will leave a helper. I will leave the paraclete, the Holy Spirit. This is my Spirit in you." So first thing that I want you to understand is that you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus in you when you give your life to Christ. But secondly, there are the fruits of the Spirit. Look at the second scripture, Galatians 5. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Those are the fruits of the Spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit essentially help us replicate the character of Jesus Christ. Now think for a moment about the life of Jesus. He was perfect in all of those. He was perfect in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are you? I'm not, but I'm working on it. Because the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is at work transforming my character into the character of Jesus Christ. You see, I am really good at all of the opposites. What's the opposite of love? Being hateful, mean, vindictive, selfish. Oh, I can get an A+ in all of those. Can you? But when Jesus comes into your life, He starts to rework your character. When Christ came into my life, He started changing me. Oh my goodness, my character was changed. My vocabulary started changing. He changed my tongue. I went from a lot of oh hell to a bunch of oh heaven in my tongue. My vocabulary changed. My values changed. How I saw myself and others changed. I was a narcissist. I was a materialist. And the Lord began to shift me as He invaded my life and He changed my character. Oh, my friends, that's what Jesus is doing with the fruits of the Spirit. If you want to see someone who is spiritually mature, then look at the limbs of their life and see what kind of fruit they're growing, the fruit of their character. And if you see love, joy, peace, all the way to self-control, that means Jesus is reigning as Lord. But there's a third feature. There's the gift of the Spirit, there's the fruits of the Spirit, and then there are the gifts, plural, the gifts of the Spirit. And that's the third scripture in 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Remember, you're saved to serve. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. You see, the fruits of the Spirit replicate the character of Christ, but the gifts of the Spirit replicate the ministry of Christ. You see, Jesus left us behind. He is the head of the church. We are the hands. We're the body. And we're here to do what? We're here to work for Him, to build His kingdom, to share the glorious gospel in our neighborhoods and with the nations. That's our purpose. And so God has given His Spirit to accomplish it. He has changed our character so that we look like Jesus in the process. And then He has given us these special gifts. And again, what does Ephesians 2 say? For by grace are you saved through faith. But then you've been created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. You're saved to serve. You're not saved just to sit and soak and sour. You're not saved to be a pew potato, come be entertained by worship services. You're saved to go to work and to use your life to make an eternal impact for Jesus Christ. Are you with me? You got it? Okay, so this is the baseline. Well, let's go then to number two. The definition of the gifts. The definition of the gifts. Now, the Greek word in Romans 12, verse 6 for gift is charisma. Charisma. We know people who are charismatic. Charismatic people are generally talented and they're appealing and they have kind of a magnet in their character. Sometimes we see public figures and we think that person is very appealing or charismatic. Years ago, I had the privilege of going to a really special event for Ronald Reagan. I thought Ronald Reagan was one of the stellar public figures, and he had this charismatic feature to his personality. So one day, a friend of mine called me up. I was living in Alexandria, Virginia. He says, Jay, I have an extra ticket to Ronald Reagan's 75th birthday. Would you like to go? Yes, that was my answer. I didn't have to pray about it a lot. I cleared my calendar. He ran by. I jumped in the car. We went over to the DAR. There's a big conference center right by the White House, the daughter of the American Revolutions, and went into that place, and it was amazing. I was sitting right where Rob and Marion Steindorf are sitting on the third row of this huge hall, and there's the entire Supreme Court, both houses of Congress. I mean, everybody's on the stage. And in that magic moment, Nancy comes out, Nancy Reagan, with a cake, a giant cake in the shape of America with 75 candles on it. And then here walks in as we hear Hail to the Chief, Ronald Reagan, down the middle aisle. I mean, it was a moment. I mean, there was something about that guy. He filled up that room. And then Lee Greenwood sang, "Happy Birthday." And then "God Bless the USA." It was incredible. Now, friends, there are people that we come to know that are charismatic, and we hold them in high esteem. I'm here to tell you that you are charismatic because God has given you His charisma. He has given you a special gift, a special set of talents, a special set of abilities that make you very appealing and useful for His kingdom service. You are a charismatic person. That is my point. Now, let me give you the definition of a spiritual gift. If you look on your worksheet, Demosthenes said that definition is the mother of learning. So embed this definition in your thinking. A spiritual gift is a special endowment from God, to enable His children to serve His purposes by helping His work. It's that simple. That's what a spiritual gift is. It's this special endowment from God to enable you to serve the purpose of God. That's what He wants you to do. Now, sometimes we think this is some singular gift. It's over here. It's disconnected from the rest of my personality. Rarely true. Generally, your spiritual giftedness is linked to a natural ability that God has wired you with. And that natural ability enables you to perform a very important task to the glory of God and to the building of His kingdom. Let me give you a fun analogy. I got Cooper Meadows right here. Cooper Meadows is here. Cooper, raise your hand. All right, Cooper is a super basketball player. Y'all may not know that, but he has already been signed up to play college ball. And I love basketball, so I always had visions of being Cooper Meadows when I was in high school. But Cooper, I mean, this guy can soar. That's him. I used to could do that if I had a trampoline or a ladder. But that's him smashing one home as the Panthers win the City Classic. Okay, Cooper's good. He's 6'6". He's had all the scoring records for his school. He's signed up to play college ball. But fast forward this. Imagine this fun thought. Imagine that Cooper's takes his team all the way. He's going to be playing for Union over in Tennessee. And imagine that they're the Cinderella team in the classic NCAA men's tournament. And imagine that they get all the way to the Final Four. And imagine that they're playing Kentucky for the championship. Have you ever thought about this? Yes, you have. Come on. So here it is. It's 74-76. Kentucky is ahead. 5 seconds left on the clock. They bring the inbound pass. Cooper's in the corner. He fades back. A Kentucky hand is in his face. He locks, he loads, he launches. Nothing but net. 3 points. Take the game. 77-76. National championship. Cooper wins. Do you think Cooper's going to be happy? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had natural hand-eye coordination. He had natural abilities. He had the right height. And yet he had to develop that. And then what did he do? He had to deploy it. He had to summon his courage to join the team. And then he had to work out. And friends, what did he reap from all of that? The harvest of victory. My friend, that's why the Lord Jesus, He's given you these gifts. He doesn't want you sitting on the sideline. He doesn't want you watching everybody else play. He is calling you down to participate because He has given you a gift. And I want you to understand that. And I want you to own your gift. Terry Willis played just a little bit ago. Now, I've known Terry over 20 years, and he is an extremely talented man. But this year, he went on his first mission trip. As a matter of fact, we went to Cuba together. Now, Terry is not only fluent in music, he is super fluent in Spanish. He is highly organized. He's a very engaging person. And I wish you could have seen him in Cuba. One evening, before I preached, I said, "Terry, I want you to play." Well, they had some sort of a small piano up there. It was just like a $50 Walmart piano that you would have. It was a box. And he gets up there, and in perfect Spanish, he regales them, and he encourages them, and then he starts to play. And I'm telling you, he had that machine smoking. It was playing so hot. He was playing it so hot and heavy. It was like a flamingo dancer was up there. And he had them all singing, and they were swaying, and the place was about to come apart. I mean, Terry was released. And he told me later, he said, this has been the most fulfilling week of my life. Because he had those talents that he discovered, then he developed them, and in service to the king, what did he do? He deployed them. And he was fulfilled. He was the victory. He won the final four. And you see, we can do that every day as we understand that God has given us special gifts. Well, let's go to number three, the distribution of the gifts. The distribution of gifts. This is very important to understand, Ephesians 4, 11, and 12. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service. Did you hear that? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Do you know how I see myself? I'm like your spiritual coach. I'm that pastor teacher, and I'm here giving you this information, even right now, even today, even in this moment, to prepare you to do a work of service for the Lord, to unleash you. Oh, I don't want you to be bound up. I want you to discover that gift, develop it, and then deploy it, unleash it in kingdom service so that you can find the fulfillment that God desires for you to have. And friends, that happens when you understand that you have received a gift. Sometimes people come to me, and I know it's in humility, they just kind of dig their toe in the dirt and say, oh, Pastor Jay, I just really can't do anything. I don't have any talents, and I can't even lead in silent prayer. Okay, well, think that through. I bet you can. I can't even pass out the golf pencils for the Sunday school small group. I can't do anything. A, that's not true. B, that's an insult to the God who made you, because he has crafted you with special gifts, talents, and abilities to build up his kingdom and to allow you to participate and experience the fulfillment that comes with being part of the team. So I want you to understand that you do have a gift. Do you remember what Paul told Timothy? He said, Timothy, stir up the gifts that are within you. In other words, go looking for them. Some of you need to do the hard work of finding, discovering your gift, and then begin to develop them. And then lastly, let's come to number four. The last baseline truth is the diversity of your gifts. We learn in 1 Corinthians 12 that our gifts can be compared to the physical human body, and that the physical human body has a lot of different parts, but it serves the head, the one purpose. So it is with the body of Christ. There's the head, Jesus, but we have a lot of different parts. Maybe you're a finger, maybe you're an elbow, maybe you're a kneecap, maybe you're a mouth, maybe you're an ear. What are you in the body? You see, all the parts are different, but they serve one purpose. It is diversity of parts, but there is unity. Now, when you study the gift lists that are in the Bible, and there are three primary ones, 1 Corinthians 12 has 9 gifts, Romans 12 has 7 gifts, Ephesians chapter 4 has 5 gifts, that's 21. But they're not all the same in every list. Therefore, it's not an exhaustive list. For instance, I don't see the gift of cooking, but I'm glad some of you have that gift because you've made encouragement edible on a many of occasion for the Wolf Den. I don't see the gift of music. It's not in there. That's not one of the 21. But I've certainly been ministered to by music today. That's a gift. I don't see the gift of technology. But right now we're watching screens and we have amplification, and this broadcast is going out all over the Southeast. Why? Because of the gift of technology. So this is not an exhaustive list. Therefore, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be in touch with what kind of gifts that God has given you, spiritual, fused with natural abilities, and realize that these gifts are symbiotic. Within the diversity of our gifts, that's what makes us unified, because not one of us has all the gifts. Now, Ed Cleveland, for instance, is one of the more talented people I know. Ed can play all these instruments. He can sing like an angel, but he can also run every power tool in his garage. He's a tremendous athlete, a fisherman. Ed can just do it all. He is a tremendous academician, athlete. I mean, he is an amazing man, but he does not have all the gifts. Otherwise, we would call this the Ed Cleveland Baptist Church. You see, Ed is not an island unto himself. We need each other. You see, we need your gifts. I once saw an article in Life magazine, and it was a stunning caption. It was this great big Argentine soldier, huge hulking man, and he had in his arms this tiny fellow who had no legs. And the caption explained that the man who was so large and carrying the small fella was blind. And the man who was being carried could not walk, but he was the big man's eyes. So they had this symbiotic relationship. The man without legs needed transportation, and the man who was blind needed vision. So they worked together as a singular team, as a soldier. You see, that's how God wants us to operate. We should be operating at a symbiotic level. That's how the orchestra is. You see, they all take these different instruments and they blend the sounds together under the direction of the maestro, of Carey Palmer. And the conductor creates beautiful, harmonious music that edifies the body of Christ. That's the goal. There should be diversity, but unity within that diversity. And that's what God is calling us to have, using our gifts symbiotically so that we serve Christ together effectively in the body of Christ. Well, lastly, let's come to the last point, the application, and that is to deploy. This is it. We link our gifts together and we find kingdom-serving opportunities. That's why today my message is timed to our ministry fair. I would urge you to go to the fourth floor. We'll leave it up for a while, but go by today and see some of the opportunities that are available for your gifts. Maybe there's some gifts that you didn't know you had in working with the preschooler, in missions, or in broadcast, or in music. You've got some gifts that are hidden. Don't be buried with them. That would be a travesty. It's like taking Mary Austin's gift and not opening it. That would insult her, that insults your Heavenly Father who gave you the gift. So you need to deploy it. So go up to the ministry fair, check it out, and see if there's a special ministry that has your name on it that God calls you. Because when you do that, you use your earthly resources to make an eternal difference. Now, let me wrap it up with a really amazing story that's as fresh as yesterday. Yesterday, I did a funeral for Bob Morris. Now, Bob Morris married a lady named Crystal. But let me tell you a story. Bob Morris grew up in Mayfield, Kentucky, and he grew up hard during the Depression. And here comes World War II, and there were family problems at home. So can you imagine, at age 13, he took all the money he had earned from his milk route and his paper route, and he ran away to Chicago. And he went to work in a cardboard box factory in Chicago, and he worked hard, and he got to be a little taller, and at age 15, he fudged on his age, and he entered the Army when he was 15 years old. As a matter of fact, he was a decorated hero. He was part of the Berlin Airlift. He served in Korea. But in 1953, he landed where? In Montgomery, Alabama. And he met a guy named Bill Haley. And Bill Haley says, "Bob," because Bob had no church background. He grew up hard, and he had a hard heart. He said, "Bob, why don't you come to church with me?" Bill Haley had the gift of hospitality and friendliness and encouragement and evangelism. And he just said, "Bob, come to church with me." He took him a few blocks from here, and there was a church called the Clayton Street Baptist Church. And he walked into that church, and there Bob saw up in the choir this really cute girl. And he saw Crystal Neal. And Crystal Neal wasn't blind. She saw him too. And she punched the person next to her and she said, "Who is that cute young soldier? I think I'm going to claim him." That's what they're talking about in the choir, if you ever see him whispering. Yeah. And so she said, "I'm going to claim him." Well, this lady, Bill Haley's wife, arranged a party, and they met at that party. And they instantly liked each other. And Bob says, "Would you like to go with me on a date?" And he took her right down here on Dexter Avenue to the Empire Theater, and they had their first date. And in 3 months, they were married on the corner of Court Street and West Jeff Davis. So he came to church, and not only did he find Crystal, but he found Christ. On the second service, he gave his life to Jesus. So because Bill Haley brought him to church, he became a follower of Jesus. He found his wife. They had 3 daughters, 7 grandchildren, and 17 great-grandchildren. And they were all there yesterday. And that family walks with Jesus. One of their daughters has been a missionary in China and in London. all because a man named Bill Haley exercised his spiritual gift and brought Bob Morris to church 65 years ago. You see, you have the same capacity if you will discover, then develop, and deploy your gift. Let's pray. Father, thank you.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.